Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
It talks about the pain when you're denied a visa. Let me tell you a story. Well, some years back on the University of Ghana campus, I was part of a team that won a competition called Halt Prize. The competition is termed the Nobel Prize for Students, and the reward for the global competition is $1 million. Yes. We had won the local competition at the University of Ghana and were supposed to travel to the UK for the main competition. Guess what? I was denied a visa. Yeah. Just some days ago, I was supposed to travel with a group of some African journalists. So we're going to a Schengen country. We applied for our visas for many weeks. We've had to postpone the trip because we are yet to get our visas. Yes. Perhaps if I owned a Dutch passport, Schengen country visa-free, I would have entered without even applying for a visa. Well, that's from the perspective of Kofi Gabs, who has listed that as one of the many benefits that he gets to enjoy for owning a Dutch passport. Like I mentioned earlier, he has started the debate, he has ignited the debate, but of course we are looking at the bigger issue or the bigger contest of the many opportunities of jackpotting, the perception that when you travel outside the country, a lot more doors and opportunities are opened. We're asking, is it possible to make it here in Ghana, or is it only possible outside there? Connecting with us for this important conversation shortly, connecting with us from the US, we have Kukua Isilfi. Now, Kukua is a lawyer. She's based in the US. She studied here in Ghana and then relocated to the US. She's now a lawyer, and she'll be joining us for that conversation. Felix Anaman. Now, Felix has an interesting story. Felix, he left Ghana before 2015, embarking on a journey that would soon change his life. And after months of adjusting to a new environment, he landed his first private cab job, and business boomed. Bit by bit, he expanded his fleet, transforming his venture into a luxury vehicle rental service with a distinguished clientele. Now, last year, he brought his success story full circle by returning to Ghana to establish a branch of his company right here in Ghana. So started from zero, now a hero, went outside, made it big, came back to Ghana to establish a business right here. He'll be joining us for that conversation. Also connecting with us from Ghana, right here in Ghana, is Chris Atadeka. He's studying for his PhD at the University of Ghana. He's a former student leader and someone who believes strongly in Ghana. We also have connecting with us Nana Mabuatin. She moved to the U.S. with her family some years ago. She's now enrolled at the Malcolm X College, studying respiratory care. And I'm told that not many institutions here. You can't study that in a lot of institutions here in Ghana. Padmo Abeka is a gospel musician based in the U.S., studied for his first degree and MBA right here in Ghana, but continued outside Ghana in the U.S. With another MBA. Also joining us for this conversation, it's my colleague, Victor Atutamoklu. You had Victor on our new social media podcast, Bathtub Diaries. Yes. He was firing Kofi Gabs. And today he joins us in the studio to continue the conversation here. Let me start with him. Let me start with Victor Atutamoklu. Victor Atu, glad to have you in the studio.
My pleasure.
Let me say, if you've not watched that podcast, just go to our YouTube page, search Bathtub Diaries, and you're going to get it. Watch it in the comfort of your homes, and then you get to know what I'm talking about. Actually, you sounded very passionate in that conversation on Bathtub Diaries. And you sort of disagreed with Kofi Gabs' position that traveling outside the country, acquiring citizenship outside, and owning a Dutch passport has transformed his life and then opened doors and windows of opportunities for him.
That would not be an accurate description of my sentiments there.
Okay.
because I do not disagree with his experience. To do so would be the equivalent of invalidating his experience.
Yeah.
That is his story. My point of departure is the comparison of the Dutch passport, or for that matter, any other national passport with a PhD, or for a Ghanaian PhD, to be specific. Because I don't believe the two documents are comparable. The passport is only a travel document. The PhD means something more. Be it in a Ghanaian context, or in the Nigerian context, or in this case, the Dutch context. I think that his sentiments reflect what I have identified to be a worrying trend of a certain inertia towards intellectualism, or there's a certain drive of anti-intellectualism that is creeping gradually into the Ghanaian culture. And it's very dangerous because it's not just Ghana. Every country that develops because of new information, new ways of doing things, innovative ideas, methods, principles that essentially develop technology, right?
Yeah.
And all of that is possible because of higher learning. In this case, the PhD, if you like, right? And because of its role in nation building, what it essentially does is that it provides new solutions, new ideas, new concepts, and these concepts, these ideas will come from people. Those people form the intellectual capital of the country. So in every sphere, in every phase of the economy, sports, entertainment, education, business and commerce, if you have highly skilled citizens in that space, productivity levels go up automatically. So once you have a situation where in every aspect of the economy you have highly skilled people producing at crazy levels, you are inching closer to, in at least in theory, to a value for money economy. You have a better chance of that, at least in terms relative to a country with very low skilled individuals. So for me, that is the essence of the PhD. No, the PhD was not established for people to go and make more money. No. It wasn't. It means something far more. Where I would perhaps agree with him, and I would say that there's something to be said about the Ghanaian peculiar situation of the PhD and its relationship to the problems of modern Ghana. And so, after PhD, what next? What kind of students are the lecturers supposed to produce? What kind of human capital is the education system producing? What kind of businessmen are we producing? When it comes to those who run the economy, those who run the country, are they able to provide or produce the ideas that will, for example, get the country out of this cycle of running to the IMF, of not finding, of people coming to you and using colorful language like when the fundamentals are weak, but when you give them the job 7 years down the line, they're still making excuses. These are the things that make people lose confidence in the PhD, for example. And it is, that is not to say that having a PhD is wrong. Yeah. So I can understand why the modern Ghanaian or today's Ghanaian does not have confidence in the country. Mm-hmm. The passports that the gentleman mentioned out there has its value, not because of the document itself, but because of how the countries are run.
Okay.
Right. So someone from the Netherlands, where our brother is based, mm-hmm. will have opportunities to travel and do those other things that he mentioned.
Yeah, visa-free, yeah.
Because of how that country has been run and because mm-hmm. of the trust that comes or that is attached to the country itself and everything it produces.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
If we had a value for money economy, mm-hmm. if we had a country where people were self-sustaining, the cost of living was bearable, and there were good job opportunities here, I don't think the issue of the passports would even matter, because you would have significantly fewer people being desirous of moving out of the country in search of pastures anew. Because okay. whatever economic liberation they would be seeking, they would have had that here.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So the perception and the state of being in constant desire or constantly seeking to travel out of the country simply because you want better pastures or better opportunities would not even exist. If people are traveling, then the reasons would differ.
Okay.
Then it will be because he's a businessman who's in the position to export.
Yeah.
Then it's because of educational advancement.
Okay.
Or for reasons other than...
Yeah, you talk about educational advancement.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you shortly. But also joining us, connecting with us, is Kukwe Silvi, who is a lawyer. She's based in the U.S. Hello, Kukwe.
Hi, so Kukwa to you, but I'm sure a lot of my friends will know me as Antoinette Sophie, so that they know that I am online. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, great. Antoinette, tell me, so Achu was just talking about things that sometimes take people out of the country. He talked about in search of, you know, educational or academic laurels and all of that. I want to find out from mm-hmm. you, what took you out of Ghana? Did you travel outside Ghana because of circumstance, or you went out there in search of better opportunities?
So, like you rightly said, I was already practicing as a lawyer in Ghana, which is because we are a very traditional kind of country, we would see lawyers as being at the top mm-hmm. of the chain of professionals. So I was really at the top. So being a lawyer, practicing for over 3 years, and I was working in one of the top law firms in Ghana. So ideally, the reason for me moving out was just for better education. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons that was cited. People actually travel in search for better educational opportunities, usually just to groom their skills, get better, and with the intention of coming back to Ghana. Mm. So essentially, that was my reason. I wasn't going to the U.S. in search of greener pastures. But okay. by coming to the U.S., I realized that there were so many opportunities, so much, opportunities that were afforded me here that weren't necessarily available to me in Ghana. And I wouldn't say education would be a barrier at that point, because I had achieved it. So in the U.S., I realized, and I could sympathize or see the reasoning that Kofi Gabs was coming from, being that even the lowest, and I would say no one is actually low in life, like human beings are all equal, but if we take it on that standpoint, that the lowest or the least in education can afford to buy a house, can get their car, can get basic amenities to make sure that they are respectable people in society, can we say the same for Ghana and many of those other African countries? Varying responses, much more likely to be in the negative than in the positive. So I think we should take a look at that, because his point was the Dutch passport was more valuable.
Yeah.
What was his definition of value? Why is he saying that the Dutch passport was more valuable than the Ghanaian PhD? Essential basic amenities would be for me the starting point. As a human being, all of us who have gone to school know about what the Maslow's theory of needs. At the basic bottom, it's like the basic amenities. When you don't even have these basic amenities, how are you thinking about self-esteem, which is almost at the top of the pyramid, where you are looking at bettering yourself and getting all these degrees, which would include the PhD. It's more that the Dutch passport will be more valuable to someone who is just thinking about his stomach, he's thinking about shelter, he's thinking about clothing, he's thinking about his health. And comparing the state of these things or state of organizations or institutions in place in Ghana to afford the layman these things and comparing that to the US or to the EU or to the UK, etc., you can see why he would say that the Dutch passport was more valuable than the Ghanaian PhD.
Mm.
And I think that is the standpoint. I think that's the basic thing, or that's the grounding that we should all understand his point of view. The PhD would only matter to a person after he has shelter, after he has food, after he has good health, after he has all these basic things. His mom is sick, his dad is sick, he's able to bring money out of his pocket to ensure that they are well. His kids' school fees are paid for, and he's living as a respectable person. That is when you would think of getting a PhD. And in that instance, the Dutch passport to him would be more valuable, because even as a cleaner, even as a cleaner or someone who has no degree, you can make sure, or you can work towards getting all of that.
Mm.
I would agree that at the end of the day, with the previous panelist saying that we should be geared towards intellectualism and all of that, I would agree. But then at the end of the day, I think even the Ghanaian definition of intellectualism, or maybe the African definition of intellectualism, I see that there's change and we are moving towards being more open. But then we are thinking more of like traditional education and just being in theory and then not thinking out of the box. Here in the US, even without a degree, with just a mere certification, you've just cooled yourself in a boot camp for 12 weeks on data analytics. You can be earning six figures.
Mm.
You've schooled. You just take a few courses on cybersecurity, you are earning six figures. And they don't really care about whether you have a master's or a PhD. And that is intellectualism. That is the move towards innovation. Can we say the same for Ghana and Africa? And I'll leave that question there for now.
Interesting perspective from you, Antoinette Sirifi. Let's connect with Felix. Felix, you have an interesting story. You just listened to Antoinette, who is saying that it's important for us to view things not from our own lenses, but from the standpoints of people and their experiences. She talks about Kofi Gabs's experience, which makes him value a Dutch passport more than, you know, a PhD. I'm sure it's something that you can also relate with, especially, you know, with your experience. You were here in Ghana, you traveled outside the country, started small, and now you own one of the biggest luxury, car rental. You provide, I mean, one of the biggest rental services in terms of luxury cars. What exactly was your experience, Felix?
Well, thank you. I totally agree with Antoinette to some extent. From my experience, I had the opportunity, you know, to come in and showcase my fashion designs. And one thing led to the other. And today I'm here. And having been here, yes, in my area, I ran, by the grace of God, I run a successful transportation business. Currently, we also have an office in Ghana, and we're doing pretty well as well. So that's where I would put it in terms of our success story, but there's more to that. With regards to the subject, I think it's quite interesting. First of all, I need to make sure that I state my stand clear. PhD is very important. There's so much value in it. However, we all know bought equal. Not everybody will get that opportunity to become, you know, to attain that accreditation. It's quite vigorous. My wife actually went through that process, so I understand how it is. So it is very vigorous, regardless of whether the person is in Choco or Amasama or wherever, whichever country as well or town. It is very important, and therefore we need to give those people the highest level of respect. Now, it's also important to note that you don't necessarily have to become a PhD to succeed. Some people may, others may not. It's very important to also look at the traditional vocational sector and all of that. All these things contribute. Now, regards to the gentleman's statement, just like Antoinette said, it depends on the context that you actually take that statement from. That context would had meaning to it, looking at who you are and all of that. And I don't think that he said that, to anger people, but he was just saying that looking at probably his lifestyle, if he was in Ghana, would he have achieved the things that he's achieved? I mean, I made this comment on air some time ago. The system in Ghana makes it very difficult to succeed. So when you get opportunities like that, you like to celebrate and people may take you out of context. For example, I open up an office in Ghana. I mean, you'll not believe all the things, the processes you have to go through. I mean, the worst part of it, just recently, I'm being asked to pay, some sort of operating fees. At the end of the day, I'm paying my taxes, I'm paying SNET, I'm paying all of that for my staff. And you're still being asked to pay other things that for me doesn't even make sense. You don't even pay that here. The system in Ghana makes it very difficult for people to succeed. I have a friend who had a PhD, finished here in the States, went in Ghana, trying to do something, went into academics, and they was warned not to even mark people the same way people are marked here in the States, which is quite flexible. Look, I mean, back home, I thought, but the system made it very difficult for you to think that way. Yeah. However, here, I was on the dean's list, and all of that. So the structure in Ghana is something that is so sad.
Yeah.
So when people get an opportunity to get out there, they like to celebrate. And it's important that you don't take that out of context, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. On that score, let me find out from Chris Atadika. He's studying for his PhD at the University of Ghana. He's a former student leader who believes strongly in Ghana. Chris, you've had Antoinette. You've also heard from Felix. Felix just mentioned that the system here in Ghana makes it very difficult to succeed. He even started in Ghana, left Ghana, went outside. Successful there, came back, they're trying to invest in the country, but got frustrated by the system and is still being frustrated by the system. What gives you so much confidence in Ghana that you can make it here in Ghana with your PhD?
Okay, so I believe that it's all about objectives for different people.
Mm.
And your objective in life would determine, obviously, your environment you decide in and what kind of opportunities you would like to explore. I can say that there are several people who are very eligible to travel outside, to even hold passports of different countries, but have still decided to be in Ghana, probably because there's a sick relative here they are responsible for, probably because there's a family interest, there's a family property here they have to take care of. So there are several reasons why somebody would be influenced to either decide to live abroad or live in Ghana. And that has got nothing to do with the person's, level of education. Obviously, we know that because we have had bad leadership over a period, a lot of us would ideally would want to be in Ghana, but have to go abroad to see greener pasture. Now, that has got nothing, that decision to see greener pasture abroad has got nothing to do with how valuable the certificate you acquired in Ghana is. It has got a lot to do with the system and has got a lot to do with, bad leadership that we have been criticizing over the period. So my conversation has always been that if you have a problem with the system, don't go ahead to say that the certificates people are acquiring here, because they are not able to get the requisite opportunities that are supposed to come with the certificates that they have acquired here in our universities here. It means that the certificate is worthless or does not have any value. Trust me, a PhD in Ghana is the same as a PhD everywhere in the world. In fact, I can finish, I have colleagues who have finished their PhDs here in Ghana who are exploring opportunities in top universities in the world. And I can give several examples, Harvard, Yale, and these are people who finished their PhDs in Ghana. There's one doctor, I'm still trying to remember his name. He finished his PhD with the public administration department at the University of Ghana. Now he sits on a large, research fund at the World Bank. And this is somebody that has access to world leaders, somebody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
I mean, constantly he's in meetings with, you know, the presidents of, I mean, the Western world and different countries. And he's not getting all of that from a university, let's say in the US. It's from a university in Ghana. So I want to say that, I mean, we need to discourage that conversation about the value placed from, you know, the value placed on PhDs or certificates in general that are acquired from universities in Ghana.
Okay, great. Chris, let's connect with Padmore Abeka. Padmore is a gospel musician based in the U.S., studied for his first degree and MBA in Ghana, continued outside, and did his MBA there too. Padmore. Hello, Padmore.
Hello, Maxwell.
Yeah, glad to hear from you, Padmore. Padmore, tell me, what made you leave Ghana? What should I say, forced you to leave Ghana?
No, I wasn't forced.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, thank you for having me. And it's been a great conversation so far. Everybody's doing, like, the opinions are just top-notch. Mm. And it's great. I'm happy to be part of it. What brought me to the U.S., I had my family here. So it was back and forth between my wife and I. So, like, I decided that I would join here.
Okay.
At least so that we could raise our kids here, and that is why I moved to the U.S.
Okay. But let me ask you, looking at the conditions there in the U.S. and your conditions back at home, comparing and juxtaposing, you know, the two conditions, I want to find out from you whether you think you would have made it here in Ghana or you're making it now in the U.S.
Okay. Truthfully, I would say that here is in the U.S. is better than in Ghana.
Mm.
If I'm being very sincere with you, that is it. Because, yeah, the kind of things you, like Antoinette was saying, even the laborer can afford things that the PhD holder in Ghana cannot afford. I'm not trying to get my bachelor's and my master's back in Ghana before I came here.
Yeah.
But I think that guy was making reference to the basic needs that I'm trying to, because I have a lot of colleagues and friends in Ghana who have PhDs and do not have jobs. The other guy was talking about a guy who finished a PhD in Ghana and has a job in World Bank. That is one in about 1,000 or one in a million. The system in Ghana is so off that nothing is working in Ghana. So until what do we use the research, the PhDs do in Ghana for? Can you ask, like, what do we use it for? It is, I have a friend who is a scientist he has also moved to the US. He's working here big time. And you know what he tells me? He tells me that it's only the foreigners who come to Ghana, like the Noguchis and the other like big companies. They come and they look at the researches that all the universities have done, and they try to explore and see what they can get from it. Most of the Ghanaian companies ourselves, they don't use it for anything. So I think some of these angles, we should try to look at these angles and try to see how we can help solve it. Because our Ghana, the system is so messed up, and we really need to revisit everything. Wow. Try to make sure everything is put in the right place.
Interesting. Nanama Boateng moved to the U.S. with her family some years ago. She's now enrolled in Malcolm X College studying respiratory care. It seems all our panelists from the U.S. outside Ghana seem to suggest that it's actually better out there than here in Ghana. Nanama Boateng, is that what you think?
Yeah, hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
So, yeah, I think life here is better than in Ghana. Because I think, personally, I'll go for a Dutch passport, not because of the standard of living, but because of mobility. I can travel to other countries. Exactly. You know, Ghana, we have restricted access for visas. Mm. So personally, that's why I'll go for a Dutch passport. But then I believe PhDs are good. Not to water down its value or essence. I believe they are good, but having a PhD in Ghana doesn't equate to status. But I don't think people here in the US having PhDs are struggling in life. They can cater for their basic needs, but people back in Ghana have PhDs and they are earning what, peanuts? But then a cleaner somewhere here in the US, the UK can compete with someone who has a PhD in terms of finances in Ghana. The guy is a cleaner, right? But he can purchase a car, he can get a house and all that. How many PhD holders in Ghana can boast of that? So I'm tempted to agree with the guy, Dutch passport over PhD in Ghana.
Interesting. We're wrapping up this conversation in some minutes to make way for the Euros. We're bringing you live commentary. But just before we do that, Antoinette, so my question to you is, do you think that it would have been possible here in Ghana, or you think that you're making it big because you're outside, you're in the US now?
Oh, it would have been possible in Ghana. At the end of the day, Ghana is home. Oh. I think we would all agree that Ghana is home. And just like Felix, my hope is, and my actions or what I'm working towards is moving back to Ghana as soon as possible with the right amount of skill set, right amount of capital to be able to do something. So the reason why a lot of us are moving out is simply because we don't even have the things to invest in the country. Ghana needs a lot of investment. Instead of it pouring out, it's not a nation that's pouring into its people. It's more of a nation that requires us to pour into it, to build it up. So I think that's why a lot of people are leaving. And like Felix, I'm sure a lot of us are thinking, let us go and make it out there. Let us amass the monies, the experience, etc., and bring back what we've learned. Mm-hmm. But staying in Ghana currently is becoming very difficult for intellectuals and professionals to be able to achieve that. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can make it in Ghana. I have a lot of colleagues who are, I was making it in Ghana, but I'm making it more here. So here I've expanded my legal practice. In Ghana, I was doing a lot of like commercial litigation, real estate, land, business transactions, right? Yeah. I mean, mergers and acquisitions. But in the US, I have expanded that legal practice to include cybersecurity, privacy, generative AI, intelligence. So I'm actually a tech expert, and I work with one of the big FANG companies. And if you know FANG, you know it's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, one of them, without saying that. And I don't think I would have been afforded that opportunity if I was in Ghana. What am I doing with this? I'm doing this so that I can learn as much as possible, so I can go back to pour back into the country.
Okay.
Currently, Ghana is not pouring into their people. And I think that is essentially, bottom line, the push factor for people leaving. That is not a Ghanaian PhD or whatever. Yeah. People are simply leaving because Ghana is not pouring into its own people.
Interesting. Felix, for any young person doing the listening right now, what would be your advice to them if they came to you and said, advise me, Felix, do you think I should pursue academic laurels here in Ghana, or you think that I should go outside in search of better opportunities? What would be your advice to them?
So look at the geographics where you find yourself. PhD is not for everyone, but for those that are, you know, getting to it, that's great. However, look at you. What would you like to do with your PhD? There are a lot of people who have PhD and don't even have the opportunity of work, all right? Look at the vocational. For example, also, if you put...
Felix, please, why don't you wrap up in like 30 seconds for us?
If you put 7 people in Ghana, there's no way they would have made it. For example, Mark Zuckerberg wouldn't have made it in Ghana, looking at the economic crisis in Ghana. So it's important that you look at your circumstances, and not all are, you know, capable of doing the PhD, going through that rigorous exercise. Look into vocational if possible.
What about you, Chris?
Okay, so my advice to the younger generation is for them to understand that there are different types of, you know, success, as we would describe it. There's academic success, there's career success, there's financial success. And the fact that you excelled in your academics does not necessarily translate in the fact that you are going to be, you know, extremely rich, or the fact that you did so well in your academics does not translate or automatically translate in the fact that you are going to excel in your career. These are three different aspects of, you know, life. And to excel in them, you need to dedicate time and effort to ensure that you become the best in that.
Okay.
So I want young people to take their minds off the fact that automatically, once I have a first class, I'm entitled to get the best of jobs or to get the highest salary once I start working.
It
may not be the case for you. So you need to appreciate that there's a difference between academic success, career success, financial success.
Thanks so much, Chris. Padmo, 10 seconds. Can you wrap up for us? Hello, Padmo. Okay, I think we lost Padmo. But if you've been listening to the conversation, this is where we ended. We're going to continue the conversation online. Yes, the conversation, I know the debate is actually going to continue online. We're making way now for the sports team to bring you commentary, the Euros.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.